get into the study of God's Word together. To help us do that, we're going to invite the ushers forward for just a moment. And they have Bibles in hand to make sure you have a Bible in hand. Just raise your hand. They'll pass one over to you if you need a Bible this morning. And if you need to keep that Bible, it's all yours, of course. And for all of us, let's turn to Joshua chapter 4. This morning we'll be in the book of Joshua. Go to chapter 4. You'll remember that 2 weeks ago, we kind of stepped aside from our traveling with the children of Israel to focus on Palm Sunday. And then last Sunday, of course, was Resurrection Sunday, and we studied the events of all that were celebrated last Sunday and all. And so we kind of stepped aside the last couple of weeks and focused on those awesome, awesome celebrations. Well, we're back at it. We're continuing our journey with these children of Israel. So we're back in Joshua. We've arrived at chapter 4. Now, you'll recall, if you've studied this before or been with us on this journey, as we rejoin the children of Israel here, they have just entered into the land that God had promised for them. Remember, He delivered them from Egypt, brought them all through the wilderness journey, brought them up to the Jordan River, and in chapter 3, we saw that He then took them into this promised land of Canaan. The way He did that was, the Lord told the priest, go put your feet in the water. Go step in, take that first step, go put your feet in the water. And as they did that, as they put their feet in the water of the Jordan, God rolled back the waters of the Jordan River and made a dry path for all the children of Israel to pass through. The whole company crossing over on dry ground. And perhaps if you were here, you remember that I called that time, happy are the people who have wet feet. Meaning, happy are those who take that adventure of stepping out in faith. And so that's what they had done. They have now just crossed over the Jordan River. They've just entered into that land that God has promised them and prepared for them. Now, you might think at that point, as you get to chapter 4, the Lord said, okay, now go get them. Go conquer your enemies. Go occupy those cities. Get going here. We got stuff to do. You might think He'd say something like, okay, get your weapons all ready. You got to start practicing your battle tactics or something. But He doesn't do any of that. Before they rush off to conquer the land, they are told to do some important things. The first thing they're told to do, we find here in chapter 4 of Joshua. Joshua 4, verse 1. And it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourself 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourself 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of the Jordan. And each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for memorial to the children of Israel forever. The first thing they're told to do is this very interesting instruction here. Here we see that God directs Joshua, before you move on, before you do anything else, I want you to set up a stack of stones. Made up of stones from the river you just came through, I want you to set up this stack of stones. And he directly calls it in verse 7, a memorial. Why? For what purpose? Come on, we got things to do, got to get going here. For what purpose? Verse 6 tells us the purpose. That this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Oh, the children. I've called our time together this morning, when your children ask. Let's pray. Father, we gather as a people, Lord, just so blessed by your love. So aware of the fact that just it's all because of your mercy and grace that we experience your forgiveness. You have poured out upon us all these blessings. You are so good to us. We also recognize, Lord, it was never meant to stop at us. Would you help us this morning, Lord? Lord, there can be so many distractions. Keep those away, we ask. And in this time, help us understand why you tell them and why through them you tell us. There's a telling that needs to take place. There's a passing on that's supposed to be going on. So Lord, work that work in us and then through us that you desire. Lord, this is for all of us. So I pray, Lord, help us to hear what you'd say this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. It is a great privilege to stand before you and share God's word with you. I do not take it lightly, but I may also say it's a great privilege for you to hear it. Not to hear me, but this is God's word. Every bit of it. God didn't have to speak, did he? But he did. And you hold it in your hands if you're holding a Bible. And we go through each thing here and we consider them. And this morning, one more awesome instruction and encouragement and admonition for every one of us. Let's look at it. How do you get one generation to pass on to the next generation the things of God? You think it would come naturally, be all about it. But we see here God wants it to be something more than just happenstance. See, here we see God direct them to make a very important, and he calls it a memorial, out of a pile of stones. Let's read it again real quick. Look at verse 4. It tells us Joshua calls in these 12 men, one from each tribe. Don't miss that. One from each tribe. The whole nation is going to be involved in the collecting, because they're there representing the nation, the tribes. They're all involved in this. There's going to be a unity. This is for everybody. Whether you have children under the roof right now, whether they're growing and out, we don't have children at all. It's for all of us to care about all the children. So there's to be this unity. They're to come do this. To what end? Verse 5, he tells them, now cross over the ark of the Lord your God. In the midst of the Jordan, pick up these stones. It says, take a stone and put it on your shoulder. So I don't know how big that stone was. It's more than they could, than just in their palm of their hands, not a little stone. But it's not, you know, it must be, it's carryable. Is that a word? Anyway, they can carry it, but they got it on their shoulder. So I'm picturing something like, yay, I don't know. And he says, okay, now get on your shoulder, bring it out of the Jordan, bring it from right in the middle of the Jordan, but bring it out and pile them up right here. For what purpose? Again, verse 6. To be a sign. It's to point to something. When your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean? Then you're to tell them, these stones are from the river because God opened up the river for us. He brought us into this land. He promised it and he did it. Make sure you tell them, he says. See, that's why they're to do this. The stones were to serve as a memorial. We are a forgetful people, or at least we can tend to be. We can tend to forget a lot of things. In particular, we can tend to forget what God has done for us. And so we move on, and we get used to it. We face new things, but we begin to doubt and wonder, and is he there? How's he going to work? What's he going to do? Oh, how important it is that we would from time to time just stop, and especially in times of trial, and remember his continual faithfulness. It's important we are reminded of his provision, his forgiveness, his grace, his unconditional love for us. It's important we not forget, but that we remember. So he says, put up a memorial, because what God was mainly concerned about here is what? The next generation. He wants the work of God to be transmitted to the children. He sets this up so that when a child were to come along and ask, what does this stack of stones mean? Why is this here? What's this doing out here? They were to redeem the opportunity and tell them, hey, these stones came out of the middle of Jordan River when God stopped it up and let us enter this land. We are where we are because of God's goodness, his provision. You're to tell them that, he says. So it would give the parents an opportunity just to share with the children the marvelous and wondrous works of God in their lives. Children are naturally curious, typically, aren't they? Parents, you have probably been on the receiving end of some interesting questions from your children if they've reached that age. They can come up with some really interesting ones, can't they? And I could probably go around the room and you can give me some examples of how high is heaven? I don't know. Just way up there. How come the sky is blue? And of course, there's that really famous age that kids get to is, why? 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 But on and on. They're curious. But too often we want to stifle it or get be quiet or something. Well, it's interesting. The inquisitive nature of children is a gift of God. And it's given to them that we can use the things of God and all and use their questions to teach about God and help develop their faith in Him. Because notice in verse 6 it says, when your children ask, what are these stones all about? What does it say in verse 7? Then you shall tell them to be quiet and put them off. No. Then you shall answer them. Be prepared and ready to answer them about what God does, what He's done, and how He works, and all. Use their questions to point to God. Now, to really help this be the application I believe God would have for us, I want us to remember, it's important to remind ourselves, what crossing the Jordan and coming into the land of Canaan represents for us today. Remember, Canaan represented the promised land. It represents a Christian coming into a life lived in the promises and fullness of God. Crossing the Jordan and coming into Canaan does not represent death and going to heaven. When they get into Canaan, there'll still be battles with the enemies and everything like that. That's not heaven. And we will always in this life have battles and all. But there's a place of victory. There's a place of conquering our enemies. There's a place of that surrendered life, that Spirit-led life, that life lived in the promises of God. And that's what Canaan represents. Coming through the Jordan, meaning God making a way, delivering us, getting us through the obstacles, and living in that promised, the promises, the awesome promises of God, that Spirit-led life He has for every Christian. So remember, that's the application. That's this life. The stones pointed out that they were a people who had crossed over. There are people who once lived in an old wilderness existence, but now they've crossed over into that new Spirit-filled faith life. We must enter into that faith-filled life, that promise-filled life, that surrendered life, if we're going to experience all God has for us. It's called the Canaan life, in the example here, and we must cross over to experience it. Now, since the application of coming into Canaan represents coming into all God has for us, meaning living in the promises of God and all, then the direct application is to tell the children how God brought us into that life. You got to be there first. Can't stand on the east side of the Jordan and say, let me tell you about it. He took us to the west. The kids will go, but you don't live in the west. We have to let God take us into and live in that life He has for us. I'm not saying it's, you know, there's no trials in that life. Canaan land has battles, but there's the victory, the conquering life there is the idea. And we're to tell the children how He brought us into that life. The obstacles He overcame, the victories He's given us, that we now can abide in Him. And how He keeps us right there in that Spirit-led life. And then He wants us to tell the children also, because He has that for them also. So, we see there to put up this stack of stones. With Kathy's help and the computer, got a little stack of stones here. Now, that's actually a picture of the Jordan River. But Kathy kind of, I don't know if it's Photoshop or what she uses. She's into all that stuff. But she got together here and put for me and us a stack of stones there, representing the stack of stones, these memorial stones that they put beside the Jordan River. So, I want us to kind of leave that up there a little while because I want us to think about something. Now, when they were told to do that, the goal was what? We saw here. They're to put this in place for the purpose of provoking questions from the children. It had the specific intent that it was to be a reminder, a memorial, something that the kids would go, what's that about? And they can say, well, let me tell you about that. Let me tell you how God has worked in our lives. Provoking questions is a good way to open up sharing with children and adults alike. If you are one of the ladies who attends the women's Bible study here, you perhaps recognize what I have up here are some pictures that have magnets on the back of them. And if you come to the women's Bible study for all, do any of you ladies who come to the women's study recognize these magnets? Do any of you recognize them? 2, 3, 4, 5, okay. So, okay, now there they go. Now they're catching on. You remember. Kathy gave these out or encouraged these for you. And so these are some magnets. They derive from teaching that Kathy has given to the women's study. And then what they are, they're magnets that capture the idea. And they're to put up around the house on the refrigerator or something with the goal of provoking questions. If you were to visit our home and see our refrigerator, first of all, our refrigerator is full of grandchildren pictures. And that's a good thing. But mixed amongst those pictures are these various magnets from time to time, and she'll put them up there. This one right here, this is a picture of, it's got a pipe, a cross section of a pipe all clogged up. Next to it is a pipe all open and clean. I wonder what she's trying to say. A clogged up pipe, a life clogged up with sin, is cut off from the blessings of God. But a life open, abiding in Him, experiences God's work. It's free and flowing and all. She's got one here of a vine. One part of it's a vine all dried up. The other part is a vine that's all blossoming and all. All of these grapes hanging from it. Let's see. A vine. One dried up, one all cut off. I wonder what it's saying. Kids come, what's that about? Well, that's what a vine looks like when it's not abiding. When it's not drawing its nutrients from the soil. But here's one that is. Same for our lives. Don't abide in Jesus, no fruit. Abide in Jesus, live in Him, be about Him, much fruit. Cool. Here's another one. It's got a little trolley car. And a trolley car, of course, is hooked to these wires overhead that give it the power. It's got to have power to go. The point is, she puts these up on the refrigerator, and the grandkids walk in or something, they go, hey, what's that one about, Grandma? Let me tell you. And so she shares with them. It is a purposeful thing she's doing to open up a doorway to share something about God, how He works in our life, how He wants to work in their life. They can know. If they want to, they just go look at Grandma's refrigerator, ask them what's that, and they will get an awesome lesson. If you were to drive by our house, you'll see right by our front door, if you were to come visit or whatever, you'll see right by our front door is a braided red rope that's hanging there. And you better believe it. As soon as you put it up, our son-in-law was the first one to start. He goes, what's that about? Because it's a question provoker. Well, you remember, it wasn't that long ago, back at the beginning of just a few weeks ago, well, back for Easter and all, we studied about what? How Rahab was told, hang a red scarlet cord out your window, and that red cord will keep you from the destruction that's going to come. And we saw that it's a type of Jesus. That scarlet cord, His shed blood. That as we put that shed blood to our lives, we escape death. We escape the destruction that's going to come. And so there's this red cord she's braided and has hanging out there to provoke questions. And you better believe it has already provoked questions. What's that about? Well, let me tell you. And off she goes sharing it. She has things in her office towards that end, just all aimed at provoking questions. What am I saying in all this? It's just an example. You probably hopefully have some of those kind of things in your life too. But notice this. What God is setting before them is a call to be intentional about it all. To actually purpose to have in your life things that will provoke questions. To young and old alike. Our focus will be the youth here in just a moment. But I want us to see this awesome design. What Kathy does, what they're called to do, it's intentional. Yes, it's awesome when you're just standing around and someone walks up and goes, hi, can you tell me how to receive Jesus? That's awesome, but it's not too often. You know, we think somehow it's osmosis. It's just going to go over there to our coworker. They're going to say, I repent. Typically not like that. Usually there's something they see or hear. And the only way we're going to have that happen is if we are intentional about this. intentional about pointing to the Lord, intentional about sharing, intentional about how we live so we can point to Him. So intentional means to be by design. It's on purpose. That's what they're called to do. And so the question is there anything in our lives, in our behavior, in our conversations that produce discussion about God and what He has done? What might be some stones of remembrance in our lives? If that represents stones taken out of the river and put there, but crossing the Jordan represents this life we now have in Him and lived in His fullness, but that there's to be things in our lives that talk about that and point to Him and point to His work, what might be some things that will point the children to God or lead them to ask questions about God? So I want you to think about that a moment, not to be answered out loud, but just what are some things, some possible things that become stones of remembrance, i.e., things from events or circumstances or something that happened, something we were part of, whatever it is, that then can become a question provoker, an opportunity to share with the kids. Well, a couple of them that come to mind that are important is the first thing that God has us do that can be used as a stone of remembrance is baptism. We don't get baptized to be saved, but we get baptized because we are. You receive Christ as Savior in your heart. That's what saves you. But it says if you have had that experience, you have called upon Him, then you're to go get baptized. It's to let the world know, to declare to the world, it's an outward demonstration of what He's done for you spiritually. We're to go do that. It represents a new life in Christ, and we've identified with Him with His death, burial and resurrection. As you go down the water, it represents that you're dying that old life and all that junk, and you're raised to newness of life. That's what baptism is. It's celebrating an awesome reality that has happened in every believer's life. It's not to be a ritual or something, but an awesome celebration of what God has done and how He works. Don't answer out loud, but have you been baptized? Again, not to be saved, but because God tells you to tell this world. And it is, you ask anybody when they got baptized, almost anybody can tell you when, and that it was a meaningful time for them. To be able to do that and declare to everybody, hey, I've made that decision. I'm going to follow Jesus. If you haven't baptized, do it. We have one coming up in May, the end of May. Come out and be a part of that. But either way, tell the children, this is one example of something you can use to tell the children what it means to you. How God has worked in your life. If they show an interest in this, encourage them to go for it. They can understand what they're doing. Of course, receive Christ as Savior first. But don't discourage them and say, hey, yeah. Well, yeah, let's do it. Let's plan on it. What's another remembrance stone that we can use to tell the children about God and how He works? It's called communion. And communion is a memorial. Because Jesus Himself said what? Do this in remembrance of Me. Communion itself is supposed to be a memorial pointing to what He did for us on the cross. How our receiving that payment paid for our sins and cleansed us and all that's wrapped up in the taking, the receiving of communion. We remember once again His death, burial, and resurrection according to Scriptures. What a great teaching opportunity communion can be. You know, just this last communion we had communion on Good Friday evening, celebrating, of course, the awesome events that had to do with Good Friday and Jesus going to the cross and all for us. So this last Good Friday evening, we had communion here. Well, I was much blessed because most of you know Brent and Casey. Casey often leads worship with us, and they're right back there, about halfway back. And they're probably going, oh, I didn't know He was going to point us out. But anyway, what they shared with me with this, their save a son, Malachi. And Malachi, a while back, had approached them to talk about communion. Well, they took the opportunity to talk to him about it, what it means, the importance of it all. And so this last Good Friday evening, Malachi came, and I saw him, and he was here, and he partook of his first communion together. And afterwards, praise the Lord is right. Yes, it's exciting. They are parents who took the time to use that as a remembrance stone. Well, let me tell you what it's about. And I caught him afterwards and kind of gave an attaboy and everything. And it's so neat when you hear that kind of thing going on. And that's what it's supposed to be. See, both of those make excellent stones of remembrance if they aren't dry rituals to you. But if baptism and communion are not important to us, then how will they ever be to the children? They will be teaching moments for you to use with them because you don't value it. Think about it. If we don't attend, if we stay home to watch TV, what is that telling them about communion and what it represents? Salvation, eternal life, forgiveness of sins. I'm tired. See, you're going to tell them something. There will be remembrance stones, so to speak. There will be things you're telling them one way or the other. If we don't go, never talk about it. Oh, it's just that. Oh, they're just another communion. Then that's what they're going to learn. But if we remember what we're celebrating, if we're excited about it, they're going to pick up on that. Wow, this is meaningful to mom. This is meaningful to dad. This is meaningful to my friends. What is it? What does it mean? And then you have a situation where finally, like Malachi comes and goes, hey, I want to do that. And so that's the importance of all this. Or maybe we do come, but if our attitude is critical, or again, if we're just kind of going through the motions, what's that saying to them? No big deal. Nothing excited about. But oh, that we get excited once again. And then use those events to talk to about, because they represent reality, real work God has really done in our lives. Don't get used to it. And use it to teach the children. Well, there's a whole lot of things. I mean, just briefly, what are some other stones that you might think of that are opportunities to share? Remember, you're sharing what God has done in your life, how he's worked, different things about him, and you're using events and different things to do that. One thing might be your testimony. Do your children know how you got saved? If I said, hey, who is Jesus to your mom or dad? How they come to know him like that? And what do they know? Could they say it? Use that up. Let that be a stone of remembrance. Let me tell you. And you tell them, God got hold of this guy. Again, you have to give it age appropriate, but you're using it as a thing to point to God's work. What's another stone of remembrance we might use? How about just everyday occurrences in our lives? All day long, as we say, I wonder how the Lord's going to provide, or is it going to be a tough day at work, or I'm really feeling weak today. But then we prayed. God met a need. He saw us through. Here comes the evening. Let the kids know how God worked, how he provided, how he gave you strength, some wisdom he gave you, whatever it might be. Use those events as actual stones of remembrance so they can see the reality of including God, not including him, having him in the driver's seat of our lives every day. So every occurrence can become that if we have it as such. The idea is to have our faith in God be so real that they see it and they ask about it. They want to know about it. They want to also be part of that. They want to learn to pray or whatever it might be. See, as we talk about God and how he worked in our home or work or different situations, we do it in a way that they hopefully would be provoked to ask questions. First thing first, it's got to be real, huh? We have to cross over. We have to be living in that. But then as you do, let there be, and there will be, stones of remembrance. And then talk to the children about it. See, what does all this tell us about how God views passing on what God has done to the next generation? This tells us he values it greatly because he values the children greatly. Let the children come unto me, he says, forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And we're to let everything be an opportunity to bless the children, teach the children. This shows us he values teaching the children greatly, and he wants to use you. Now, again, don't sit there and say, well, my kids are grown, don't have kids or whatever. We have a place within the body. All of us have a place in passing on to our youth, those who come along behind us, so to speak, these points of how God works. We recently made some changes in our children's ministry format around here. The children's message now follows our message from the main meeting by 1 week. So the message you hear on a Sunday is what they prepare, and then they share with the children the following Sunday. And they're all on the same page, from all through the youth department, the children's ministry. They will follow us by 1 week. That gives you the opportunity to have heard it and to be prepared. Prepared for what? To tell them, to answer the questions that their lesson's going to provoke. So when you leave, what'd you talk about? Maybe next week you'll go out and we'll talk about. They talk about these stones. What'd you learn about? What do you think about that? See, it gets this format we've set up helps us fulfill this call. You know where the children are going to be, and you'll be able to be prepared to minister them, to answer their questions and all, to provoke some questions, as the case may be. I encourage you, commit to doing that. Take the time to take some notes while you're in here. And then as you come to the next week, okay, we're going to be right here. I know where my kids are going to be. I'm going to talk to them about it. I'm going to ask them questions. Or whatever it might be. But commit to this process. Our children's ministry only have the children for a short time. Most children probably watch more TV today than they will hear, than they'll hear about the Lord here. So you redeem that. Don't say, well, it's the job of the church. No, it's all of our calling and privilege to tell the children, our own and those we come into contact with through the teaching of the children's ministry or something. But our job is to do that. Bottom line, help connect the children to God. He put this in place. He says, because I want them to know. He says, now you be prepared to tell them. And you do tell them, he says. And so do that. Help connect the children to God. May I stop for just a moment and say thank you to a couple of people? I want to thank Kirsten and, of course, Chris. Kirsten Bragg and her husband. Kirsten oversees our children's ministry here. And man, what a blessing that she has stepped up to do that. And we thank God for her. If I were to ask you if you know her and you don't, then I ask you to take time to get to know her, that you might pray for her and encourage her. I also want to take a moment and thank Joe and Kristen. You know, Joe was up here leading worship. Joe is our youth pastor. And what a blessing he and Kristen, his wife, are to the high schoolers and others, but in particular his focus is the high schoolers. And just all, I thank God for them and all the good things I hear about. They're serving the children here. Good group. We have a family called the Delmores, and they oversee our junior high department. Now, there, of course, there's Dennis, there's Anna, there's Matt, and all, and some young lady named Larissa. She helps out, too. And just please hear this in love, but junior high is a special calling. You know that. That's that age where they're going from youth to I know everything, you know, try to impact my life, you know. But they do. What am I saying is to all the leaders, but also all you teachers, you helpers, and those who step forward to serve, the babies, Vicky and everybody with the kids. And I saw Sherry dragging her wheelchair over there. No, excuse me, your rocking chair. So we didn't get ready for the kiddos over there. Just so many people stepping forward. Thank you to each of you. You are part of Tell the Children. You're part of answering this prayer. But they need help. And so whether you have children or not, jump on board. We invite you. Consider this an invitation. Join those who already stepped forward, our many teachers and all that. And again, I can't name all, but thank you to each of you. But if you're not doing that, think about fulfilling this. Think about stepping forward and blessing the children. They need your help. They really do. And don't be like, oh, what am I going to do? Just right now, helpers, just learning, see how it goes. You can help in different areas. But there's so many opportunities there. I just want to invite. But I want to take a moment. I just wanted to do that. I want to thank those who have stepped forward. And so for all of us, be available and pray about that. Well, the stones, the stack of memorial stones. By the way, do you know that there's not just one stack of stones? There's actually two stacks of stones in Joshua 4. Let's read it. Go to verse 8 for a moment. Look at verse 8. And the children of Israel did so, just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spoken to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged and laid them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there to this day. Now, of course, that obviously means to the day of the writing of this. They might be there to this day. I don't know. Maybe they're buried under sand under there somewhere. I don't know. But notice, two stacks of stones. One on the banks to provoke questions. But then Joshua finds some other ones, and he stacks them up right in the middle of the river where the priest with the ark had stood before the water returns over them. And he stacks them out there, two of them. Whenever the floods seem strong, whenever there would need to be a reminder to them of God's faithfulness, there would be those two stacks of rocks. And one of them stood right in the middle of what they've been delivered through. Think about that. Now, commentators disagree as to maybe how large that stack would have been. Would it have been able to be seen above? You know, can you maybe the water, the river's there, there's this little tip of the rock sticking out. Maybe only when the river drops down in dry seasons. I don't know. Different debates about whether those could be seen or not. One commentator said this. He said, you know, he thought probably the rocks, he said, you know, those rocks are standing out in the middle of the river there. He can just picture the conversation that might have ensued from that one. Here comes a guy walking along, and he's got his kid with him or something, and the child says, what are these stones here on the side of the river about? Well, let me tell you, that those stones are from the river because God stopped all the water. He pushed all the water back, and we got to come through on dry ground. So we took those stones from there and set them here. Those stones, talk about God bringing us right through the river. Didn't have to get wet or anything. Well, the commentator said he could just see, say, you know, the children very well might come up with, well, kind of a skeptical, well, how do I know you're not just making that up? You could have gotten those stones anywhere. How do I know he did that? Then they would have been able to turn and say, because of that other pile. If he didn't do that, how'd that pile out there get there? See, both a testimony to what God did. Two stacks of stones. One in the middle of the river, one in a place called Gilgal. We'll look at that more next week, Lord willing. But the children would see it is the idea here, and they would just become naturally curious. And so the goal of it all was what? Tell them. Be intentional about it, and then when people respond, tell them. Two stacks of stones. Did you notice that? No costly shrine. He didn't say, okay, I want you to get fashion all this gold, get a big thing on. Just proof of God working. Just two stacks of stones. Simple, but powerful. Just like our lives. We point to Him, not us. Well, what do I have? You have God's touch. You have God's forgiveness. And so two stacks of stones. Just proof of God's work. Let me conclude with this. Go to the end of the chapter. You're in chapter 4. At the end of the chapter here, Joshua amplifies on what they're to tell the children about the stones. It tells us now that the people indeed come up out of the Jordan. The 12 stones are stacked up. Verse 21, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Verse 22, then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. But now he makes a connection. He adds some more to their instructions. As the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over. Oh, he says now, hey, why these stones? Because God opened this up. Just as he opened up the Red Sea to bring us out of captivity, so he worked miraculously to bring us into all he has for us. He worked to bring us out, and he worked to bring me in. And we have, and he ties those both together. Both are opportunities. And we're to tell the children, he says, about both awesome crossings. And then, verse 24, that all the people of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. See, it's not just for the kids. It's not just for parents. It's for all of us. This was all done, it says, why? That all the earth, all the people of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, and secondly, that you may fear the Lord your God. As it was for them, so it is for us. God works in our lives that he might work through our lives. He works in our lives, that there might be those memorials that we could talk to others about Him. God works in our lives that we may know, and then that the world may know. And then what's He say? Tell the children. I invite the worship team up to wrap us up this morning. If you're in need of prayer, there'll be prayer partners over here by the prayer room. We have covered much this morning. You've been good students. Now go out and be teachers to those kiddos and those in the children's ministry and those who God puts around us. Let's be intentional about our pointing to what God has done in our lives. Let's pray. Father, as we sit here just considering your work, your love, the awesome things you've done, your power, your might, your provision, your care, your faithfulness, on and on it goes. And we sit here for those who've received, we sit here saved, heaven bound, forgiven, changed forever. Our destiny's changed. Lord, we thank you. Now, Lord, would you help us? Help us to use those things, so to speak. Help us not to be stones of remembrance, that we might declare to others, to young and old alike, how you work, what you've done, your great faithfulness. Lord, we thank you for all of that. So, Lord, thank you that there is that call, that invitation to come into the Spirit-filled, promised life that you have. And then help us, Lord, to tell the children. And may it all be to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.